I mean, I just have tons of stories to pick from today. This is one of those days on Joe where you write down your show prep and your plan for the show, but you only get to like 4% of it because of everything that happened over the weekend. Let's hit some of the big stories trending nationally with the lunch rush. Three-time Cy Young Award winner Justin Verlander has agreed to a two-year, $86 million deal with the New York Mets. The deal also includes a vesting third-year option, according to ESPN. More pitching news. The Dodgers re-signed Clayton Kershaw to a one-year, $20 million deal. Not bad. Not bad, as Kershaw is, you know, ending the last couple of years or whatever of his career. Just go ahead and re-sign with your team. Don't have to move anywhere for, another $20 million. It's insanity, Angel.
Can you just retire?
I mean, yes.
Please.
But there was like no question as to whether he was going to stick with the Dodgers, I guess. I mean, I thought about it for a split second, but 1 year, $20 million deal.
It must be nice.
It must be. It must
Ew,
be
you
nice.
A ball for
it. Oh, you're so good at it. You're so good at professional sports. Here's $20 million.
You beat up the Rockies every year. Yeah, you're so good.
What are the Rockies? Has the Rockies done it? Have they done
They're
anything?
They're doing something. What are they? They've made some moves, but nothing major yet. Chris Bryant looks to be back and healthy.
Oh, good. He'll play That's like fun. 12 games. That'll be exciting. I asked a poll question, I think, last week or the week before. Where I said, who's more miserable, the Rockies, Broncos, or the Buffs? Well, it's not the Buffs anymore. It's not the Buffs. They're very excited. Everybody's all in. Seems like it, if you're in Boulder anyway. I think the CSU Rams fans are the ones that are coming. I'm just being honest. I'm just calling it like I see it. The Rams fans are coming out saying, this is a bad move.
A little salty.
A little salty there today. It's okay. I get it. We'll see how this thing shakes out. But I'm here for it, man. This is all must see, must hear, all of it. Baker Mayfield. The Panthers waived Baker Mayfield. How about that? What a decline. What's next for Baker Mayfield?
I would probably guess San Francisco. Obviously, they lost Jimmy G for the year. Do they want to keep going with Brock Purdy?
He Who sure knows? Is Purdy.
Average.
It's an Alabama
Caucasian
thing.
Guy.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield, though, I mean, he asked for his release, so this is...
Denver? Come on, Russ needs some competition.
I don't know. I don't even...
We need a quarterback controversy. That's the first thing
That's what we need now, is a quarterback controversy, a decision going forward. And you mentioned it, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's out for the season. Crazy game yesterday for San... But that's San Francisco... That's defensively, they have all the tools. It's always been about, what's that quarterback going to look like? And Garoppolo was doing all right the last few weeks. So that's a big blow for San Francisco.
It is a big blow. They have a Thursday night game against Seattle this week. So that's going to be big in terms of the division there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's hard for Jimmy G, a guy that was kind of playing his way into a new contract with San Francisco or possibly on a new team. And now another, just another injury setback for him.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, how about Deshaun Watson over the weekend? I get it. I didn't expect greatness from him. Yeah, there we can boo. They did beat Houston 27-14. They're 5-7, but he looked awful.
He looked really bad, especially as I only watched the first little bit of this game, but missing throws, just a lot of throws in the dirt. He had a bad interception in the end zone. And maybe it was just mentally too much for him. Obviously, he's gone through a lot, but it's the NFL, and you're not going to get sympathy from a lot of people.
Especially not him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't on any of the key networks. They didn't. It was just available pretty much Houston area, Cleveland area. So that wasn't one of the games on our docket to get to watch, unless you, of course, have Sunday ticket or whatever, and then bonus coverage and all that stuff. But is Cleveland... I mean, they win. I got to think that Deshaun Watson will be better. I'm not sure, but he was so bad. 12 of 22, 131 yards and a pick. Are we talking about Cleveland squeezing in to the playoffs here? Are we at that point yet? Or no, it's probably not going to happen.
I'm going to say probably not.
They have the Bengals coming up.
Yeah, and it looks like the Bengals are going to wrap up that division. We'll see what happens to Lamar Jackson, but... I'm still not really sold on the Ravens as a team this year. The Bengals just look as good as they did at this point last year. Cleveland, you'd have to get over some tiebreakers to kind of get a wild card spot. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah, probably not. But the fact that the Raiders are somehow in the picture again. This conversation. That's the thing. Denver, if you just get to the red zone once or twice more or at all against Baltimore, it was all there, dude. That's what's so disappointing and frustrating about this is here we are again. Every week it's the exact same thing. I mean, I don't know how much you watched of this game, but I'm predicting what they're going to do now. And I love football. I know a little bit about football. I am not a guru, you know. I'm sitting there watching this game going, okay, first and 10, they're going to run it. Okay, second and 9, they're going to run it. Okay, now it's third and 10. That happened way too much. I mean, what are we doing here? Russ didn't look bad. I mean, he didn't have that many opportunities to throw the football. He was 17 of 22. You rant, Latavius Murray had 17 carries for 47 yards. Now, I'm normally the guy that's banging the desk for more running, but at some point, you got to get a little, you got to use your imagination here. I mean, you're just driving down. You look good at times, and then it sputters. The play calling is just awful. Tyler Huntley comes into this game. Lamar goes out relatively early, and this is what you have to show for it? I'm out of it, man. I didn't even tweet about Denver yesterday. I was mentally exhausted watching that game. And then Colorado takes over. Colorado Buffaloes. They take over at 1:30. That stole the day. That is the story in this state. Angel, today, on December 5th, 2022, is this a Bronco state anymore? Or is this a primetime state?
No, it should be orange and blue. You got a big division game Sunday night against the Chiefs. Oh, wait, it's at 2 o'clock.
It's huge.
No one's doing anything at 2 o'clock, so we're going to go out and have a snowball fight.
I mean, if I'm Mahomes, I'm mad for two reasons. I just lost to the Bengals again, and I got booted off Sunday Night Football because you're so bad. Like, why are you punishing me? I'm Patrick Mahomes, and you're knocking me off of primetime? Speaking of primetime. If he can win, this will be a Buff state. Sorry. Colorado will take over. Because it's Deion Sanders, man. He is that popular of a guy that if he can find success, don't you think? Am I overshooting here? Because this is a Broncos state, and it has been forever, but you're going on 6 losing seasons in a row, getting ready to be 7 for the lack of playoffs, and you just hired one of the most popular names in college football. Maybe one of the most popular names in football in general is Deion Sanders, one of the best cornerbacks to ever do it. Played multiple sports, prime time, a Hall of Famer, successful at Jackson State. Am I putting the cart before the horse a little bit? Is this going to become Colorado, the state becomes known for the Colorado Buffaloes?
It's going to take a lot to dethrone the Broncos. Heck, you have to dethrone the Avs at this point.
I mean, yeah, it's the thing. You got the Avs, Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah, Nuggets, they're trying to go win a title here in the next couple of years. But with, you know, all eyes are on CU in terms of football.
All eyes,
unless
man.
There's a change coming, you know, in the Broncos coaching staff, which we don't expect to see until the end of the season. So, all right, we're going to go to the hot story, and that's Boulder.
That's the hot story. You go from every single week, your 30-point dog, your 28-point dog, your 29-point dog, to you got Deion Sanders as your head coach. He said, Chris, Broncos presser on Wednesday, early draft says, quote, we've got to get better, and it all starts with me, end quote. I mean, how long do we have to keep hearing this? I couldn't do it. I think I might pull this thing off yesterday. They might win with 3 field goals. Instead, Baltimore gets the ball back for one final possession. They drive on down, and they score a touchdown. Denver gets a shot for a game-winning field goal. What it would 63-yarder? I wasn't counting on it.
What hash was it on?
I think it was the right hash this time.
Okay.
The right hash. So no left hash. We're going with the right hash, which is weird because that was the strategy against Seattle was we got to get to the left. That's where Brandon McManus wants it. But this was a rollout to the right.
Let's try the center next time. Middle of the field, Russ. Just get us there.
Russ wasn't bad.
No.
No. Do I think that Russ is going to turn it around and be a Pro Bowl quarterback again? I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I'm not saying no or yes right now. I'm serious on this. Because I saw some moments. The offensive line is still really bad. The play calling is still really bad. I don't understand it. I mean, show some imagination. And I'm not stressing this, man. It just felt like every time, especially in that second half, it'd be first and 10. Let's run it. Let's run it. Okay, now everybody knows it's third and 10. How many third and 10s can you have in this game? And then third and 10, what are they doing? We all know. Denver was 2 of 12 on third down. Baltimore was 3 of 13. This is that. What did I tell you? The Broncos offense, they are the Dementors. They're the Dementors in the NFL. They suck the life out of everyone watching and playing. And Baltimore's without Lamar. Lamar was like, dude, I'm done with this. I'm out. He gets hurt. And just another terrible performance for Denver on this offense. Third down efficiency is just awful. Again, Baltimore, they went down. This defense is supposed to be elite. They played like an elite defense for 95% of this game. But as we've seen, what is this? It's the opposite of the Tebow years. This is the complete opposite of that, except for the offense. It was offense is bad, bad. Defense is really good, 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 good. And then somebody's going to make a play at the end. It's the opposite of that. Offense is really bad. Defense is good, good, good. But they can't make a play at the end. The team, I think this is karma. For all the goodwill we got for Tebow, things happened that shouldn't have happened in games, and somehow we found ourselves winning enough to get to win the AFC West. This is coming back to bite us now. It's like, now we're going to do the opposite. You're not going to get that again. The offense is so bad. Defense is good. We're going to do the opposite. You're going to get some kind of end of game drive play or whatever that's going to change it.
I think having Tim Tebow is punishment enough. Hey. And if you want to throw in the seven other quarterbacks since Peyton, I think that's karma as well.
Probably. We got spoiled. We got spoiled with Elway and Peyton Manning. And here we are. No plan B. We're still paying for that. Dixon says, Brady, I have listened to most of Hackett's press conferences this year, and every week he says we have to do better, blah, blah, blah. At what point does we have to be better turn into we are not getting better and serious changes need to be made? He doesn't have that in him.
I don't think he has the power to make serious changes.
Well, what's the change? What are you going to make now? Bench Russell Wilson? Because that wasn't the issue yesterday. So what's the change you want to see him make? Like, if he could, what would he do? I mean, last week it was bench Russell Wilson, but Wilson wasn't the problem. So what good would that do right now? Oh, we're going to put Brett Rippon in. Then you're saying that it was Russell Wilson. No, it was the play calling. And what does he say? What is Nathaniel Hackett supposed to say? Aside from just getting up there and saying, you know, pulling off of Coach Klein and saying, has anybody got any good ideas? Like, that's what I'm half expecting now. It's just so bad that we get to that point. 20 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. Don't forget, I have Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up soon, so you don't want to miss that. Mark was there, and you got to be all a part of that press conference yesterday. We have put out a request, just so you know, to get primetime on. It's probably going to be a couple weeks, but it's going to happen at some point on, Joe. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
¶¶
Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week every week. This one's from Breckenridge Brewing. It's a Christmas ale. You can check out selections there from Breckenridge Brewing and On the Rocks Liquor, or any of your favorite adult or any of your favorite breweries, your local breweries, statewide, national, you name it. They have a wonderful selection. Check out the free tastings going on this week, this Friday from 4 to 7 o'clock. Loveland Ale Works will be on hand. And then Saturday, 4 to 7, it's the great folks from the Shine Shop in Greeley. So free tastings there. Write the time down, 4 to 7. Two big free tastings coming up Friday and Saturday. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Quickly on the college football playoff front, I thought if K-State, because it felt like K-State was up by 10 at one point. TCU ended up coming back and forcing overtime. If K-State would have won by 10, is Alabama in?
I think so.
If they didn't go to overtime, is Alabama in?
Yes, I think so.
I thought even with the overtime loss, was it hockey now, that Bama was going to get in.
No, I think Duggan, the quarterback for TCU, I think he really, you know, they don't make it about one player, but when you do that kind of performance in a game, and yeah, they lost by a field goal, it's hard to justify that, and two losses on the road by a combined 4 points, you know, the resume wasn't really there for Alabama, so it's all right.
On to next year.
Let's wait till 12 teams, and we'll never be.
You might never miss the playoffs. I thought, okay, we said it on Friday on Gel, you need two losses. You got two losses.
Everything that Bama needed 2 weeks ago happened,
yeah,
and they still didn't get in.
Yeah. I think if you don't go to, if they don't go to overtime, then
how about USC just completely falling apart?
Oh, my gosh.
Apart.
That was awful.
Utah is fun to watch.
Yeah. Good for Utah.
That good, good quarterback rising, he's fun.
Yeah. My guy Paul Kirk, who was the AD of communications at CSU, is doing the same thing now for Utah. So I think he had something to do with that. Great guy. What a weird weekend. What a strange thing. Joel Klatt just said the Buffs in an afternoon have now become the most relevant program in college football. Is that true? More relevant than
Define
our four playoff
relevant.
Teams
like,
right
are
now?
Are they relevant because they just made a coaching hire?
But is he?
Or are they relevant
think,
because this is a program that's suddenly going to be good?
I think that there's a lot of thinking nationally that this is going to be good next year. As soon as next year. The pressure is on. This isn't a Jay Norvell thing. This isn't give it time and see what happens. This is prime time at CU going to recruit top players, bring in top assistant coaches and recruiters. I mean, he's already opening it up, man. Tweeted it out. Lord, that portal is jumping. Let me see what's in there. I ain't hard to find. So he's looking at the portal right now.
Portal officially opened today.
I'm seeing guys left and right share their stuff. I saw Brendan Lewis, the quarterback for the, probably former quarterback for the Buffs, is sharing out his videos too. Wow. Will Horn for UNC tweeted out, my name has been entered in the transfer portal as a grad transfer. He's replying to Deion Sanders because he put that out on November 21st. He's replying to Deion Sanders with that footage. Nuts. 29 minutes after the hour, we got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Things are about to get really interesting for the University of Colorado. They already are. I just keep refreshing Coach Prime's Twitter account, man. It's some entertaining stuff. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, a man that's going to get to know Deion Sanders very well over the course of the next few months. Mark, my man, wow. What a day yesterday for Colorado.
You know, I just saw where our friend Joe Klatt did it on his podcast this morning, and he said Colorado, in one day, went from being maybe the worst FBS college football team in America to the most relevant college football program in America. And that's kind of what happened yesterday. I mean, Deion Sanders is a larger-than-life figure. He's an iconic athlete, obviously. He's become an iconic personality. And now, you know, when you hire Deion Sanders, you don't just hire a coach, you hire a brand. And that has all come to Boulder, Colorado. And I know with what's going on with the transfer portal today and recruiting and all that, yeah, it's gotten real exciting real quick, hasn't it?
He is very upfront, too, about everything that's going on. And that's what's really fun about this, Mark, is he's not pulling any punches. He's not making, you know, saying, hey, work your butt off, you might make this team. He's flat out saying it. If you don't want to be on this bus, leave, get out of here. He just tweeted out, Lord, that portal is jumping. Let's see what's in there. I mean, I just like that. It's opening it up. You're tearing that curtain back a little bit.
Yep. I ain't hard to find is what he always says, right?
Yeah.
Prime ain't hard to find. Yeah, it's really something. This is unlike anything we've ever seen in sports. I mean, I've been sitting trying to think. There have been dynamic people who have obviously been coaches. But this is unique. In a day and age in which most coaches become this homogenized product with a very corporate and, you know, very buttoned down, and there's, you know, the Mike Leeches of the world are kind of unique because they're not. Deion Sanders comes in and is a totally different. I heard somebody once say Deion Sanders is one of one, right? There's nobody like him in college football and really sports in general. And so it's going to be fascinating to watch and see how this thing unfolds over the next number of months and seasons.
No, it really is. And again, you're going to get to know this guy so well. I think the primetime thing had something to do with it too, Mark.
There's
I
no
really
doubt.
Do.
Yeah.
I do.
You know, and I like to tell you that just being the foresightful marketing genius that I am 13, 14 years ago, do you want to know why I changed the name to Primetime?
Yeah, because of this, right?
No, well, oh. That'll be my story from here on out. But the reason it happened back in the day, yeah, it wasn't that I had this great foresight and was looking at the crystal ball realizing that Deion Sanders, Primetime, Coach Prime was going to be part of the program and so it fit perfectly. It was the fact that Colorado had been going through so many coaches, I was tired of changing the name of the coaches show when it would happen midseason. That's the reason I did it. I walked back into the office and said, we got to stop this,
wow.
Right? You know, it's been so frequent, I've got to go from, it's, you know, the Buffalo Stampede with Gary Barnett, with Dan Hawkins, with John Embry. We got to stop this. I said, so we're sitting around talking, and somebody threw out the idea of Buffs Primetime. There you go. That's what we're going to call it from now on. And then Hawkins says, it's Buffs Primetime with said coach. Now I get to say, it's Buffs Primetime
wow.
with Primetime. How about that?
How does that work out, man? Look at you. I love that story. What a great idea. And I do think that somewhere along the lines, you had some intuition. You saw this coming 15 years ago. My goodness, man. This is crazy, Mark. You go from a team that isn't covering 25-plus, 30-point spreads. It's just awful. There's no end in sight. We're not sure what's going to happen. And then you start hearing the rumors. You start dreaming a little bit, wondering what this is going to look like. And here we are. Happened fairly quickly once we started to get some of those rumors.
Well, you know, and really, I'll be real honest with you. And I was playing it rather close to the vest. I thought 2 weeks ago was pretty much a done deal.
Wow.
I believed it was happening at that point. Now, I wasn't going to say that publicly. You know, I could have been wrong. But I got the sense this thing was kind of done maybe a couple of weeks ago, and it was just, you know, putting the finishing touches, dotting I's and crossing T's, and allowing Deion Sanders to, you know, to finish up with what he was doing there at Jackson State for the SWAC championship. And now he, of course, is back there for the bowl game they've got coming up. But I thought it was, and I was keeping my fingers crossed that it was going to turn out that way, and it certainly did. So it's amazing what this guy brings, and kind of that tornado that hits when he comes walking in. We all know he's one of the greatest athletes of all time. I mean, he's in a conversation with the, you know, the Jesse Owens and the Thorpes and the Bo Jacksons and all these kind of people, right? I mean, he's in that conversation for greatest athlete in the history of mankind. Then you throw on that, you know, the dynamic, charismatic personality he's got, and what he's done from a broadcasting and a business standpoint, and then what he did, you know, in his 3 years at Jackson State, and, you know, taking them to a 27-5 record, winning two consecutive championships. So, you know, he's not the kind of guy you're going to bet against, you know. I mean, it's going to be fascinating, I think, to kind of watch the transition and, you know, the step up now to the Power 5 level and what that means. But the one thing that's becoming abundantly clear, in fact, I just saw on Twitter a little while ago that apparently he reached out to one of the top defensive backs in the country who I think it had come down to Oregon and Washington. And the kid's quote on the service that I read this on said, you know, when the GOAT calls you, it kind of it feels a little different. And think about that. When, you know, if you're a top-level high school athlete and you get a call from Nick Saban or Lincoln Riley or, you know, think of the great coaches across the country. I mean, that's some pretty high-level stuff right there. And then all of a sudden, from not only an athletic icon but a cultural icon, when Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, makes the phone call, all of a sudden when you're a 17-year-old kid, but I mean, that's going to hit a little bit different, I would think. And so this is some new territory I'm not sure anybody's ever really been into.
No, it's monumental. I mean, yesterday, how many TV clickers left the Broncos game to go watch Deion Sanders press conference? Now, Mark, I'm careful with this comparison because they're two totally different things. But UNC, of course, hired Ed McCaffrey. That was a big name in the state. But that name didn't have clout. I really don't believe that name had clout with, you know, 18, 19, or 17, or whatever. I just don't believe it did, other than Christian McCaffrey, and even Ed joked about that.
Right.
But the other thing is, you know, Deion has the college football background now. There's substance to the hire. So you're hiring the name, which is like the Ed McCaffrey thing on monster steroids, but there's substance to it. McCaffrey coached 2 years of high school football. You have, as you just outlined, his success at Jackson State, but his name – everybody knows because he worked his tail off to make sure I'm not just going to be known as primetime Deion Sanders NFL guy. I'm going to blow that character up so that he's known for years and years to come. And look at that. He's going to be able to use that for recruiting. He's a genius.
Yeah, well, his marketing of himself and his brand. I've been saying this, that when you hire him, you're not just hiring a coach, you're hiring a brand, right? I mean, there's the Coach Prime brand that has been built over the course of time on, you know, a lot of sweat equity on his part, being an athlete and everything that followed after his playing days were over in the NFL and Major League Baseball, and being a Hall of Famer, a College Hall of Famer, a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I mean, you think about that. And so he's got kind of he really is a unique character. I mean, like I said, I like that line. He's one of one. He's a cultural iconic individual personality on top of being an athletic iconic personality and figure. And so that's a little different deal. I mean, you make the comparison, you know, kind of a loose comparison with Ed McCaffrey. Ed McCaffrey was a phenomenal athlete and is a legendary figure here in the state of Colorado. But what Deion Sanders brings is so far beyond that, and what it means culturally for, you know, young people and what he kind of represents, I think, is really unique. And I think it's going to be a boon for Colorado athletics overall and specifically football.
You and I have had a lot of conversations after coaches are fired and then hired. We've had a lot of those, Mark, and I've had a lot of those with other people too, because that's what we do in this state now, is we just hire and fire coaches left and right. You've always said stuff like this that sticks out to me as, hey, you know, press conferences, those are easy to win because everybody loves you at those press conferences. But, I mean, Mark, if there was a press conference that somebody absolutely won, I mean, this is it. This is one of the biggest press conferences maybe ever. I mean, seriously, well, maybe in all of sports.
Brady, I mean, that's what I'm talking about with his personality. And being somebody who speaks for a living, I'm always fascinated watching people speak and listening to how they do it and their word usage and phraseology and their cadence. He's got when he gets going, there's a cadence about him that's hypnotic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about that clip yesterday, you know, I'm coming. And he was just, I mean, there was a cadence, there was a rhythm to it. And I'm always fascinated by that, how people, you know, that's the business we're in, how we use our voices, how you say things, the word choices, the pattern in which you speak, all really affect your communication ability. And he's an outstanding communicator. It really was fascinating to sit and watch that and kind of watch how the crowd was going to react, you know, the folks that were there and certainly the people that were viewing it, listening to it. It really is an interesting thing. And so I appreciated that aspect of it because, like I said, there's a hypnotic nature. When he got rolling, and you could tell when he really got wound up, you know, and you've seen that. If you go back and watch some of the videos he's had with not only the one he had last night with the CU players, but things he's done with his team when they're in Jackson. You can know those at Jackson State. They're easy to find. They're all over the place. And he's got that. And you can tell he just has a group of people in those circumstances in the palm of his hand, and it was really something to witness.
Talking to the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Mark, okay, all of that. We know how he's larger than life. The press conference was amazing. They are the talk of this state. It is today is a Buff state, not a Broncos state. It just is. Yep. It is what it is. All that aside, what do you make of this? I mean, obviously he's going to bring in some stud players, but I think, you know, if you're wanting to be the counter to the positive here, and you're just looking, will this all work out for the Buffs? Because this is a monumental move. This is the kind of move that if it doesn't work out, I mean, it really goes down in shambles. It could be maybe Rick George. I don't know what that would look like. But your thoughts on that?
Well, when you look at the reports of who may be coming in with him. I mean, there have been a lot of reports about the number two defensive guy with Alabama. There's a defensive line coach at Texas A&M. Those are just a couple of the names that are out there floating around in the various media reports right now. There's been a conversation that Mike Zimmer, the former Minnesota Vikings coach, who was an analyst with him at Jackson State, could come aboard as kind of a general manager-type position where he oversees all football operations. I mean, this isn't just a fly-by-night thing here. And if you notice the names you're seeing out there, they're prominent coaches, and what goes along with that, all of them are dynamic recruiters on top of that. And so, it's really an interesting deal to watch on how he's putting this thing together. And then reports, of course, a couple of days ago that when it started became apparent this was happening, that, you know, the last couple of weeks those phone calls have been made. There's been all sorts of orchestration and contact and communication and negotiation going on with these various coaches around the country. So this isn't him just, rolling on in here with a couple of guys that he's buddies with. That's not the way this is working out. This appears to be a well-oiled machine. I mean, he showed up. He's got marketing people and social media people, and I mean, it's an enterprise that rolls in. It's just not one guy walking in and going, hey, I'm here to coach some football. This thing's got some depth to it, some weight to it, and that's why I'm not betting against it.
Well, and you know, again, not necessarily comparing the two situations, but with McCaffrey, I looked at that. I didn't know how serious he took this thing. I really don't, to be honest. With Sanders, this is what I want to do. This is the next step. This is where I am now. This is no, let's see how it goes. I'll come in and throw my name around and see what happens. This is his legacy on the line here. So make no mistake about it. He wants more than anything in this world, and he will put that work in to be successful in Boulder.
Well, think of great athletes, okay? When you're talking about the likes of a Coach Prime, a Deion Sanders, okay, you're talking about the elite of the elite, right? One of the great athletes we've ever seen. When you think of Deion Sanders, Peyton Manning, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, I mean, go on down the line of the great athletes. Those guys don't do anything half-hearted, right? It's not in their personality. It's not in their nature. There's a reason they became one of the elites of the elites, the highest level, the halls of fame that they're in, because that's what they do. So, you know, look at Peyton Manning right now, all the stuff he's got going on, right? I mean, he's hitting it at 1,000 miles per hour just like he did when he was playing. And so I think that's a personality characteristic of somebody that plays at that level. They know one way to go, and it's 1,000 miles per hour and giving it everything they've got. And that's why this is not just a hobby that we're talking about here. This is a real venture, a real vision, a real aspiration, and something that I think he's going wholeheartedly at, because there's been no indication otherwise. And I've, you know, over the last couple of weeks, started making some phone calls and, you know, asking some questions and looking for observations out there, and I can't find anybody who goes, yeah, he's not really all in for this whole deal. This is a 100% sold-out enterprise that he's on right now. So if it's not that, I'm going to be shocked, to be quite honest with you.
Mark, last one for you. You know, again, he's been very forthright. I mean, he's making no bones about it. He's flat out saying, you know, some of you guys, just get ready to enter that transfer portal, because, you know, we are looking to build this thing up and turn this around right now. I don't know. I find it really refreshing, I guess. And I know for some of these student athletes that are on the team right now, that's tough. But it is what it is, Mark. This happens with every college team. When a new coach comes in, behind closed doors, they're deciding right then and there that this group, they're probably not going to be a part of what we're building here. And Deion's basically, like I said to start the segment, he is pulling that curtain back. He's telling us all what we already know.
Well, and think about where I was on ESPN Radio this morning, and they asked me a similar question about that video last night. And number one, I didn't take that as a you know, basically telling everyone to leave. It was, listen, this has been a 1-11 football team. Okay, this might have been the worst college football team in FBS this past year. So that's where this program is right now. It has been a tough. You know me, I've been here 19 years, man. It has been a challenging 19 seasons to see where this program is, once proud program, has been. So the message I thought he was sending to everybody is this. This is where it's at. Now let's crank that up to the top level of college football and what I'm expecting to do. That's where we're going to be. You've been giving 1-11 effort and intensity and attention. Now we're going to do college football playoff 12-0 attention, right? Because that's what he's thinking. No, you know, somebody asked me one of the show. I've done about 10 interviews this morning, and somebody asked me, well, you know, what do you think he's thinking in terms of possibilities next year? And I said, well, guys at that level don't think 6-6. They don't think I'm building this. They think I'm turning it around, right? So that's how they view it. Now, is that realistic? Well, we're going to find out. Let's wait and see with the portal and recruiting gets done, what this roster looks like. I mean, my guess is it's going to be totally different. You know, we saw USC and TCU had about 50 or 60 different guys from last year on their rosters in the first year of these two brand-new coaches. I'd expecting nothing less than that for the Buffaloes. So the message he was sending is this. This is where you're at. This is where we're going. And if you're unable or unwilling to play at that level, it's probably a good idea that you go elsewhere, because otherwise you're not going to be here. And that's all that was. So I've got no issue with that kind of challenge being laid down. To when you're talking about a performance-based business, that's the challenge that has to be laid down if you want to get to greatness, and that's the challenge he laid down for this team.
It's unlike anything we've ever seen, Mark. I think he's going to open up so many doors, you know, open our eyes to this process. I think it's going to be a blast no matter what happens. It's going to be entertaining. Mark, my man, always appreciate your insight. I'm sure you'll get a chance to chat with him throughout the course of the week, so it'll be fun to talk to you and get your thoughts next week as well.
Well, I'll look forward to it. I think he is back in Jackson, Mississippi. Remember, they got to get ready for that bowl game.
That's right.
I don't know, and it would be wonderful if it would happen, because we got a pretty big game coming up on Thursday night with the Buffs and Rams. It certainly would be kind of cool if he was introduced to the public there. I don't know if that's going to happen. That's just me thinking out loud, but that'd be kind of neat. But, yeah, I would think in the near future here, he's got plenty of business. He's talked very openly about finishing that business at Jackson State. So he'll be focused on that. And you know, I'll have my opportunities to, sit down with him, I'm sure, and chat with him and talk about the details of how he and I will conduct business moving forward. But, yeah, we'll look forward to that down the road at some point.
Yeah, Mark, and we'll probably reach out to you Wednesday, too, if that still works. Because, again, there's going to be, in the next couple of days, more stuff to digest,
sure.
Of course. Mark, my friend, appreciate you as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Let's take a quick break. More on Deion Sanders, more on the Broncos, more on everything. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I love when the Hooligans text us stuff to advance the show, to get the brain thinking a little bit. This is a good one from Noob. Great text from you, because it is an interesting thought, and we'll talk about it on the other side. He said, can you explain to me why everyone is fine with Deion having a film crew that follows him around, but everyone has an issue with Russ doing that kind of same thing? Deion hasn't done anything here, but he has won at Jackson State, just like Russ won in Seattle and has done nothing here. You were okay with Deion and the fanfare, but not Russell Wilson. We weren't. A lot of people weren't at the beginning of the season, even before the losing started happening. Let's talk about it. We'll talk more Deion Sanders in prime time next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.